for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Wednesday evening, October the 27th, 2005. Chris Simpson of New Wine Christian Fellowship in Pasadena, Texas, is the speaker of this service.
Praise God. Amen. Well, Lord Jesus, we sure thank you tonight. We just want to honor you and thank you for your faithfulness today, all the good stuff, good word we've heard. And gosh, it was a good prayer time. Was that a good prayer time? Everybody ministered a lot of. We had a good time in our group. Thank you, Lord, for touching folks. Folks be able to get their needs out and others pray for them. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence here. We just want to acknowledge it's you, Jesus. It's all you. It's your Holy Ghost. We appreciate it, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that is our heritage. And that's why we can come boldly up to the throne and request to meet our needs. We just thank you, Jesus. Nobody said. Amen, amen. Well, tonight I'm going to talk a topic entitled Exposing the Jezebel Ahab Spirit. So would someone lock those doors, please? I've never taught this without somebody getting mad. But you know, Jesus' first sermon, they went to, in his hometown, they went to kill him at the end of it. So there's good precedence for that. Amen? But, so I do this with all trepidation, but trust in the Lord. We're going to look in the scripture this evening. Am I ready to go on the tapes? Okay. If you would, turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to 24. Exposing the Jezebel Ahab spirit. Now, I'd like to submit, folks, I've been a pastor by the grace of God for 18 and a half years. It's always the grace. How many pastors out there? Is it the grace of God, brethren? Only the grace of God. But God is good. And I've had my share of Jezebels rising up. In fact, in 94, I had four of them rise up at the same time. Almost split my church wide open. I had to fly Brother Norman Parrish, who's my spiritual pastor. He's my pastor. My spiritual pastor. My pastor. My spiritual oversight head. Flew him down for emergency meeting on a Monday night. And I tell you what, had I not been under authority, my church wouldn't exist today. Did you hear what I just said? Had I not been under authority, my church wouldn't exist today. I really believe the biblical pattern for the local church is for a pastor to have a pastor. And that the pattern is, it's upon the apostles and prophets that the foundation is built. It's very important that local pastors have someone to whom they can submit, consult, and be under their covering. It's like, you know, if you have a boil water in a pot, in a teapot, it needs a little bit of outlet for the steam. Am I right? You got, and sometimes, just by the nature of man and sin and life and problems and immaturity, etc., sometimes these demonic spirits come into churches, Jezebels, spirits, Ahab spirits, and that happens. I mean, it's part of life. I mean, the reason these four spirits manifest, four in Jezebel's manifest in my church, the Holy Ghost came to me at the end of that 2 or 3 month ordeal. It is a very painful time. But he showed me basically all the fault all laid at my feet, personally me. It was an immaturity on my part to know how to really make these people feel loved. You know, they're just wounded people. And because they didn't feel love, they became susceptible to a spirit that almost ripped the church up. And the Lord showed me. He said, well, when the Holy Ghost came, he didn't put blame on nobody, but he just pointed his finger to me. He said, son, you need to grow up. You need to learn how to love. Amen? And unconditional love, and where they feel love. And praise God, it's now been 11 years. So I hope I'm a few spaces down the board from that. Hadn't had quite that problem since. Hallelujah. But this is a part of life. And, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job, okay? That's what his job is. And Jesus came to give life much more abundant. And our job is to walk in the kingdom and also to walk in wisdom. In fact, Jesus said that he would have us to be wise as what? Wise as Why would he pick serpents? You think wise as owls, you know? Or wise as peacock. No, serpents. Why? Because that's our enemy. We have to at least meet him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2 that he says, we ought to be wise or discerning of the devices of the enemy, lest he should get advantage of us. And the enemy will obtain advantage over us, often to the degree of our lack of wisdom in the things of the Spirit. So I felt like it'd be good to look in the Word and look at some good sound scriptural truth about Jezebel. I have, and then I'm going to we're going to do a PowerPoint here. I hope it works out. I just typed it in today, and going to have some notes. I encourage you to take some notes, folks. I know that I have had opportunity. I was sharing with one of the brothers here earlier that in this big four Jezebels rising up occurred around summer or fall in 94. Well, that's 95, early 95. I did four or five sermons on witchcraft. And this particular sermon I came up with just 4 or 5 months after that uprising of Jezebel. So trust me, there was an anointing on it. I sit out in church because, it's a truth that pastors need to understand that Satan comes. And the problem is a lot of folks react to Jezebel spirits from the flesh. And it don't work. If you react from the flesh, that thing will backfire. It's going to expedite the danger. So you've got to learn to operate in the spirit realm because the enemy is a spirit. Well, Revelations 2:18, Christ is speaking, it's red letters in my Bible, under the angel of the church in Thyatira, right? These things says the Son of God, who has his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. I know your works, he's speaking to the church of Thyatira, your charity and service and faith and patience, your works, and the last to be more than the first. That's interesting. He talks about the works in the beginning and the end. There's a lot, but I'm not going to spend time on that verse. That's an interesting understanding there. But verse 20 says, notwithstanding, in spite of the fact that you have charity and service and faith and patience and lots of good works for the kingdom, he says, I have a few things against you. He says, because you suffer that woman, what, who? Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants and to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I'll kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I'll give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, would you agree with me that he's not talking there about the literal woman Jezebel? Would you agree with me? She was a figure in the Old Testament during the time of Elijah, and certainly she didn't rise from the dead in the New Testament in the year 96 or something and live in Thyatira. So if he's not talking about the literal woman Jezebel, who was the daughter of a Baal worshiper, who was married to Ahab, to whom was he speaking? Was it another Jezebel? Anybody got an idea? A spirit. I think, do you not agree that he's referring to basically the spirit that moved through Jezebel in the Old Testament? And so, you know, we're not out of line in the deliverance ministry talking about Jezebel spirits at all. Because Christ did. He said this particular church of Thyatira had a Jezebel spirit operating in it. And do you see the vehemence in which the Lord spoke about the spirit? I'm not going to kill her. I'm going to kill her children, her offspring. You know, I don't want this thing to spread. I'm going to crush this thing like a spider underfoot. And the Lord said, this is a wicked demon. And she brings in seduction in the church and perversion and fornication. All of these are spiritual terms. You know, basically, Jeremiah speaks a lot about the whoredom of Israel, speaks about the heart of Israel that had gone to false gods and false idols. But Jezebel was a queen, an Old Testament queen during the time of Elijah. And he's talking here of a church, I submit to you, that allows Jezebel to operate within its walls. Now, I want you to notice that he calls this spirit, where is it somewhere, help me folks, the depths of Satan, verse 24. I say to you and to the rest in Thyatira, and as many have not this doctrine, and which had not known the what? Depths of Satan. Christ actually compares the spirit of Jezebel to the depths of Satan. Now, I heard about the depths of the Lord. Deep calls unto deep. Spirit searches all deep things. Man, we're talking about the depths of Satan. Well, I'm not interested in the depths of Satan, are you? I just soon know nothing. I'd rather be shallow-minded when it comes to Satan. Amen? But didn't Paul say in Romans, I would have you to be simple concerning evil and wise concerning good? Amen? I want to know just enough about the enemy to defeat him. I don't want to be titillated, whatever that word is. I don't want to be enamored and all caught up. You know, some folks get all, and this happens in the deliverance. You know, people get all caught up in the satanic realm and all curious. You got to be careful with that. That's how folks get in the occult. And there's plenty of that out there. Witchcraft, the New Age, and all this stuff. So I want to know just enough to kill him. Just enough to cast him out. But no more than that. Really, I'm serious. I would have you to be wise concerning, simple concerning evil, Paul said in Romans, I think the last chapter, and wise concerning good. It's incumbent upon us to know about the enemy, but not too much. Just enough and out to kill him, focus on Jesus. Can you hear an amen? But nevertheless, we do need to understand these things because this is a spirit that operates in the church. And it's sad but true, it does operate in the work in many works today. In fact, I submit it to the leading cause of most church splits. It's an insidious spirit, and you find it working to insecure, controlling people, usually women. Now, ladies, I don't mean to be sexist today, but it usually works through women. Doesn't mean it can't work through men. I've known Jezebel spirits to work through men. Yes, it's a spirit. But it usually works through women, and there is a spirit that usually works through men, and that was, we call it the Ahab spirit, which was her husband. Okay? You really don't see that verified in the New Testament like in the Jezebel, but nevertheless, there are a lot of men that act like her husband that actually advocated and allowed her to move in the control. So, if you look at 1 Kings 16:29, we'll look at this. Best place to learn about this spirit is go back and study the passages about Jezebel and Ahab. Christ himself refers to it there in Revelation. So we're going to review some passages and possibly from them glean truths of how the spirit operates in lives, families. Listen, it operates in businesses. Did you know that? It can operate in churches. I believe it operates in countries. Anywhere there's a tier level of authority, Jezebel often operates. 1 Kings 16:29. You with me? There it is. All right. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. This guy outdid the other ones. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. That's a Baal worshiper. That's a Satan worshiper. That's a witch doctor. So he married the daughter of a witch doctor, of the Zidonians, and he served Baal and worshiped. We're talking Ahab, king of Israel, served Satan and worshiped Satan. Now, would you? That's pretty bad. I'd say Israel's kind of in a backslidden state here. And then he reared up an altar, it says, unto Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab met a grove in verse 33, and he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that were before him. So he was one of the worst kings, folks. Okay? And Jezebel, his wife, daughter of Satan worshiper, what I want to point out tonight is, again, Jezebel is often the unseen power in most church organizations that tries to creep in. It is kind of a plan of the enemy to see what he can do to undermine the legitimate authority of the kingdom. And often to turn legitimate spiritual leadership against the Lord. Okay? Look at chapter 19, verse 1. I'm just going to skip through the story quickly. Yeah, I really recommend pastors, leaders, read, study the passages on Jezebel and Ahab. I've gone through these, and man, there's a lot of truth here, a lot you can glean, a lot you can give revelation. But tonight, you know, when I have time, I want to hit on some high spots. I really want to give you some specific data you can write down about how this spirit will creep into your church. Okay, so I want you to take notes. It'll be really important for you. So we're going to kind of run through the story itself, but don't think it's not worth really studying. Chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Now, what Elijah had done, he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Remember that story? He said, who's going to serve the Lord? And he challenged the prophets of Baal, and they were calling on their demon God, and demon God couldn't send fire. Then Elijah called on the Lord, and man, he poured water all over the sacrifice. The Lord came down with so much fire, he even burned up the rocks and all the water. And all the people bowed and said, oh, Jehovah's God, Jehovah's God. You know, people always respond positively when God drops with fire from heaven. So he kills all the prophets of Baal. So Ahab came and told Jezebel what he'd done. And verse 2, Jezebel sent a message to Elijah. She said, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as one of them by tomorrow at this time. In other words, you're a dead man. Tomorrow, this time, you're dead. Okay? Now, this is a picture here, folks, of a woman in control. We're not really going to look at the rest of this chapter, but, man, it warrants some study. You know, here's this powerful, powerful prophet, Elijah, who could stand before 400 Satan worshipers, witch doctors, calmly, could stand there and mock him. He got always mocking him, making fun of him. Where's your God? Was he off to the bathroom? What's your problem with your God? You know, calm. But, you know, when a Jezebel woman rose up, he split, man. He ran. He was hot. He ran ahead. And that says something. You can be bold all day long. There's something scary about the Jezebel witchcraft spirit. I'm serious. And so even Elijah, I mean, the Lord had to come in that whole passage. The Lord was trying to break some insecurity in Elijah. See, you know, I am mighty even against Jezebel, Elijah. But Jezebel, I really believe, is a spirit that often focuses against prophetic ministries. If you have any kind of a ministry that has any kind of prophetic bent, there's going to be a Jezebel spirit trying to undermine you. Okay? So this is really a picture in verse 1 and 2 of 19 of a woman in control. Now, if you'll keep your finger there, I'm going to make you look around the Bible a bit. Isaiah 3:12, keep your finger there, tells us about what can happen negatively when a woman is in control. Again, I told the ushers to lock those doors. Please hear this tape out. I am not a sexist, but I'm going to talk about biblical patterns of men and women. This is a very unpopular teaching. It's very not politically correct. Hello? But it is spiritually correct. Do y'all want to hear spiritually correct or politically correct? It's going to make some of them women mad out there. Hello? It's going to make some of them men mad too. I want you to hear the truth though. The word of God's a sword. Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of the past. It was never God's intention, I submit, for a woman to rule and have spiritual authority over a man. Do not get mad at me, but I don't believe it is ever God's intention for a woman to have spiritual authority over men. There's something fundamentally out of order about that that can create Ahab men. Okay, I know there may be women pastors listening to this CD, maybe women pastors here. Folks, I'm just telling you what I believe the Word of God says. I don't have any problem in my church. I have women that teach from the pulpit. Praise God. I have no problem women teaching. I have no problem women being over ministries. But I will not allow a woman to have pastoral authority over a man. I will not allow that. I don't believe that's the Lord. I think it's out of order. But I have women in pastoral authority over women. And I can show you in the Scripture. We have these koinonia groups. Women have pastoral authority in women's lives, and men have pastoral authority in men's lives. Now, I know there are instances where women are pastors for one reason or another, and they fall into it, but I really believe it is always best if they can migrate to the Lord's order. Can you hear that? God is good. God can bless and use anything. But I believe if you want to have a church free of Ahab and Jezebels, it's best to follow the Lord's order. Are you still with me? I'm often invited to places one time. Like I said, Jesus' first sermon, they're going to push him over the hill. So good precedence, right? Okay. Ahab's abdication, listen to me, was just as bad in God's eyes as Jezebel's control. In fact, it was worse. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Ahab's abdication in allowing his wife to control, and I really believe in God's eyes, was worse than Jezebel's control. And you know what I want to submit to you? One of the reasons men tend to abdicate control to a woman, whether in a family, whether in the which is always unhealthy. I hate it when I hear that the woman wore the pants. And it tends to create effeminate men and you know, women that hate men. Lesbians are just hardened. But often that's not the woman's, the men allow it. You know, I think it's something in the heart of a woman that wants to be near the rib of a man. I think there's something in the heart of a woman that's just natural that wants to be under the covering of a man. That's what a woman wants, just in their nature. But because a lot of men are Ahab wimps spiritually, they'd rather watch sports and pray. Hello? They'd rather just be in entertainment or caught up in the things of the flesh than pray. Then the women just, you know, my God, our kids are demonized. Somebody's got to take the spiritual reins of the house, so they do. And it's not right. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wicked on the man's part to put that woman in that position. And it's not, I've never met a woman yet, even though it's Jezebel's rose against me, not one ever that really wanted to do that. In their heart, they really just, they're looking for a man, but a godly man. Amen? Okay, ladies, are you back on my side now after that? Got to beat up on both. I was in India once. You know, in India, the ladies are on this side, the guys are on that. So it's kind of easier. You know, you just hammer on the guys, and you hammer on the ladies. Of course, you don't hammer on the Indian ladies, just hammer on the guys. Okay, one of the results, let me tell you what one of the major things that causes an Ahab, one of the major things I've seen that caused men to be Ahabs, is, you ready? It's not willing to stand up for what's right or for the truth. It's that simple. And when a man will not stand up for what he knows is right as the truth, spiritual disorder and destruction will result, and it'll often attack a prophetic type ministry. You know, one of the healthiest type churches is when you got lots of guys. Did you hear what I said? A healthy church has lots of guys. It's no problem having churches with women. There's something about a woman that's just more akin to the things of the Spirit. Women tend to hear. I think that's why the snake came to Eve instead of Adam. He knew that she was going to be a little more sensitive to things of the Spirit. But you know what? A church is healthy when the guys are in charge. Can I amen? I'm sorry. I just believe it's good. In my church, I got lots of guys. Okay, we got a lot of good ladies, minority ladies, but I want to be sure we got a good, healthy thing of men. Men need to be involved in the ministry of the church. And I found that this spirit is my ministry and this ministry here at Lake Hammer's worst enemy. Jezebel hates ministries like this. It hates ministries where the Word of God is preached and deliverance is preached. Now, I want to show you something. We're going to flip through the Scriptures and some God's defined order. Are you ready? We're going to look at four verses real quick. 1 Timothy 2.12. 1 Timothy 2.12. These are very unpopular verses, but they're in the Bible. 1 Timothy 2.12. But I suffer... No, verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 12. 1 Timothy 2.11 and 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach... nor to usurp authority over what? But to be in silence. Okay, now I won't read any further, but let me just say this. That's where I get the fact I don't believe a woman should usurp authority over man. But you know what? I can also show you other verses where it encourages women to teach. Are there other, women can teach, women can minister under the anointing, the unction of the Holy Ghost, and many fold ministries. I don't have any problem with that. There are other verses that justify that very much so. You know the verse in Corinthians where it says, let not the women speak anything in church with everything to ask them, ask their husbands when they get home. You know that verse? You look over it real fast. So, but you know, if you just look a few verses before, he says, but you all may prophesy and you all may speak. See, just a few verses before, he basically he's opened it up to everybody. Okay, so he's obviously talking about some cultural thing there in that particular sense here in 1 Corinthians 14. But there's a principle, I believe, and it's fundamental about understanding Jezebel, that a man doesn't do right under the spiritual authority of a woman. It just doesn't work. And every guy I've dealt with, virtually, that's homosexual, and you guys have been in deliverance, ladies been in deliverance, so I think you'll agree with me, that's effeminate and homosexual, it's invariably because they had an absent father, either physically or emotionally. Am I right? They always had a father figure that was not there for them, either physically or emotionally. He was physically gone all the time, or he was emotionally gone. Checked out, he was an Ahab. So the young boy modeled himself to get after the woman, after the mama, who was strong and began to pick up her feminine tendencies. So that's why it's so important that we get these things on. Next verse, 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives. Again, I tell you, this is one of the most powerful verses I share with ladies. They want to reach their husband spiritually. I said, you're not going to do it sticking bottle tracks in a six-pack of beer. That's not going to work, okay? Hammering over the head, giving him these haughty looks when you're off to church and he wants to watch the baseball game. No, no. You know, you just love him. Say, honey, I'm going to church with the kids. Can I get you another beer? Do you need anything? Can I stop at the store and get you something? Walk out the door. That man's going to get up the chair, look out the window and say, what is with that woman? Am I right? Flies are attracted with honey. Amen? There's real wisdom here. Another one, Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, you know, husbands, don't think you're getting off easy. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I'm going to tell you which one's harder. One thing to submit to a husband, but to love your wife like Christ loved the church, you know what he did for the church? He died. He laid his life down for her. Okay, the last one, 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I would have you know, 1 Corinthians 11:3, that the head of every man is Christ,
and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, you know, this is an amazing set of passages here. An amazing set. He talks about women wearing covering on their head when they come together, and men, it's a shame to wear a covering. And he even talks, and I don't have time to go into this, about because of the angels. And it's a fascinating verse here in verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power or covering on her head because of the angels. And I wrestle with that, but folks, I mean decades. I haven't understood that. And not long ago, a couple of years ago, the Holy Ghost began to show me. You know why? What he's saying? Angels love to be where God's order is. It's really that simple. Read that passage. Angels love it when God's order, submission, and authority is prevalent. They love it. Why? That's all the kingdom of God is all about. Authority and submission. Heaven is it's ranks of angels, a submitted authority. Even the demonic realm has submission and authority. And angels love it when they can come in an environment where there's proper order and submission and authority. Can I imagine? Remember that centurion in Matthew 8? He came to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. And he said, but don't bother coming, just give him the word. Because I know how it works. I'm a man under authority and I have authority. He knew that's how you work. And Jesus went, whoa. In fact, the Greek is, this man has mega faith. He said, he has great faith. He said, I had faith like this amongst the Jews. It's because that centurion had an understanding of spiritual authority, of authority and submission. And it's interesting, he was in the military. I found a lot of people that have been in the military understand authority and submission. Hello, guys in the military? Is that right? I mean, you better understand it. I was almost in the military. I was 6 lottery numbers away for going to Nam in 1971. 6 lottery numbers away. I had just gotten saved. That was my first prayer. Oh, God, keep me out of Nam. And I'll serve you forever. Hey, I'm still here, praise God. Never went to Nam. But I tell you, some of these youngsters are in drugs and just full of rebellion. I tell you, it might be good to go and do a little stint. Amen? With the Iraq War, I don't quite tell them to go to the Marines anymore. But I tell them, go, doing the Coast Guard, I mean, the Air Force. In fact, we got a fella, I think, that was just recently going to get in the Navy. So I have no problem with that. I think it's good. Amen? Good to learn. Good to learn, so particularly if they didn't know how to submit to their parents. Okay. Violation of God's order, listen, of the order we just saw, you ready, opens homes, churches, and nations to Jezebel spirits. Now, again, men, you need to understand, when you abdicate to women, they're tempted to take over. And again, I made these points. Why do men tend to abdicate? Often because of their lame spiritualness. They're lame spiritually. You know, lazy, indulgent, entertainment, sports, ambitious are often one of the reasons men tend to abdicate to women in the area of the spiritual authorities because they had angry fathers and they resent authority. They resent the whole notion of authority. They had a father who corrected them all with, you know, rejection and correction or angry correction. So they resent the notion of authority. So they decide, I'm not going to have that in my house because they link authority with anger. All right? It's like linking correction with rejection. And so they don't do it. And as a result, the household swings to Jezebel. 1 Kings 20 now. Let's go back. 20 verse 1. We're going to keep going through this story. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were with him 32 kings and horses and chariots, and he went and besieged Samaria and warred against them. And he sent messages to Ahab, the king of Israel. Now, Ben-Hadad, folks, is like a big bully. He's a big bully, and he's going to come pound on Israel. So he sent a message to Ahab. He says, thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold is mine. Your wives and your children, even the best, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to your saying, I am yours and all that I have. Now, if I had never seen a spiritual wimp, this is one. It's like a bully coming in. When you were growing up in junior high, you had extortioners, you know? Kids would grab, you know, some of these guys know what I'm talking about. Rude bullies. You know, just use their force of who they are to get their way. And, you know, unfortunately, if you don't stand up to a bully, you're going to be a wimp. I have a story. I tell my dad was a Navy guy in World War II, and he had 4 boys. Okay, I'm the second of 4. And my dad, he knew the Lord. And he's dead now, and I know he's with the Lord.
But he was a right out of New Orleans. He was a Navy guy, and he was the youngest of nine boys. My dad was the youngest of nine boys, and his mama died when he was four, and he grew up during the Depression, and he had to learn to fight to live. I mean, he just learned how to fight. He learned if you didn't fight, you didn't eat. Okay, it was a tough time growing up. So when he grew up, he taught his boys, and I'm really thankful for my dad. I really am. I really believe the reason I'm in the ministry today is because my dad instilled in me and my brothers a certain character trait. It was stand up for what you believe. Stand up for what. Don't wimp down. Okay? And one time, when I was a kid, I was about 10 years old, in an area of New Orleans that was recently under 9 feet of water, to where I grew up, not far from one of those levees. But I remember we used to play sandlot baseball. In fact, not too far from the levee. And one day we play. I loved it. I'd go home from school. What grade are you, about fourth grade or fifth grade at 10 years old? And I'd come home from school. We'd go play baseball. And there was this fella named Timmy Youngblood. I even remember his name. And he would come around, and he would just harass us. I mean, he was a bully, you know. He'd just come push the guys, and we're trying to play baseball. You know, he'd just bully himself around and mock us and everything. And then he'd start picking on me. And, you know, I remember I went back to my dad, and I said, man, and he said, you know, what's the matter? I said, well, this Timmy Youngblood guy. So my dad said, come here, I'm going to teach you boxing lessons. So he bought some of those boxing gloves, and he was teaching me how to box. And then he would get me and my brothers to learn how to box and stuff like that. And so he said, now I want you to go take on Timmy Youngblood. And I'll be honest with you, I was terrified of taking on this guy. He's about twice my size. But my dad, I remember he said, son, I really want you, I think you need to learn early to stand up and fight and don't let bullies run you around. So I had this one day, and I don't know, bear with me, I don't know if this is Christian, because I wasn't saved then, so it's okay, right? But Timmy Youngblood came around one day, and I was sitting there, and I didn't have no boxing gloves, but some fire came on me. We were playing baseball, and I got mad at him. And I just ran and jumped him and started pounding his head in the sidewalk. And he bit me, and I still have the scars. Yeah, they're missing. I still have the scars. They're still there. From four, what, how old am I, 10 years old. And I pounded his head, and I was so mad. It was like this fire came. I was like, you're not going to do this. And he got up and ran home to Mama. Guess what? Timmy Youngblood didn't bother us no more. You know what I mean? And I felt so good. I went home. Dad, thanks. And amen. That was one of my final moments. Oh, man, I was the praise of the kids in the sandlot. You know, he took on Timmy Youngblood. And, you know, I'm so glad I had that opportunity when I was a youngster. Because something put in my spirit, we don't need to put up with bullies. The devil's a bully. There's spirits out there that don't want to do nothing but attack your kids, man. They hate you. Particularly what you're into. They want to attack your money, your kids, and your family, your relatives, anybody that come into your church. I watch these demons. What about people visiting the church? Man, we'll go after them. With friends, like wolves with the little sheep on the edge. Just go after them. I hate the devil because the devil hates us and he hates anything we have to do. He's a vicious, vicious being. And well, he has nothing to lose. He's going to end up in a lake of fire anyway. Let's pull out as many as I can. So something's going to rise up in us. My God, there's a good fire inside of you. Amen? You know, one of the most grievous things I deal with, I was talking to my wife about this the other day, is abused women. And ladies, so maybe some of you here, when a woman is abused by a man, you know, emotionally or sexually, it's just such a travesty. Because they're only firing them. And they tend to gravitate to another abused man. And they're abusing dad, abusing siblings. Then they get married to an abuser. I mean, I've had instances where you have a woman, you rescue him from some nut. You know, I had a lady years ago, she's pregnant, jumping on her, pounding on her stomach with the baby, spitting on her. Okay? So she comes to our church, seeing my husband, and I'm saying, oh, man. He was a glass fitter, put in the, you know, glass and walls and doors. And we were trying to protect this poor woman from this guy. He was insane. He was just full of demons. And then I remember another time she was with him, and he punched her. She fell out of his truck into broken glass. He spun away. So, you know, I'm new. This is back when I was new in the pastorate. And so we're trying to help her, protect her. Do you know, after 2 or 3 weeks, that woman wanted to go back with that turkey. She started calling him. And I go, what is your deal? And, you know, that was the first encounter I had with abused women. We're dealing with a couple of them right now. In fact, I went to my wife the other day. I really affirmed. I said, Sherry, I said, you know, you're a pain in the all kind of places at times. She's a fiery woman. I said, but I'll say one thing. You ain't got abused bone in you. I said, you're refreshing. So I gave her a big hug. In fact, I said, tell you what, I need you to go work on some of these abused women. In fact, that's what she's doing tonight. Tonight, as she's told me, she's going to be talking to a certain woman in her Koinonia group who is an abused woman, who tends to just be run over by men. It's sad. And, it, you know, there's an instance of an Ahab spirit in a woman. Are you hearing me? So it's not necessarily always falls into the same sex, but sometimes it's good to have a woman with a little fire. I think it's always good to have a woman with a little fire in them. Can you hear me? Amen? But just keep the fire down a little bit. Or focus in the right direction. Amen? All right. Where are we at? Look at verse 42 now, that same chapter. So Ben-Hadad's a bully. And Ahab's a wimp. He's a wimp. He's afraid to fight. Verse 42. You ready? Thus said the Lord, because you have let go out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore your life shall be for his life and your people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased. See, what happened was he wimped out and he did not take care of the enemy. He wimped out. He let the enemy go, sort of like an abused woman. He didn't take care of his enemy. So God came back to him. You have to read the story. I don't have time to go in tonight. He didn't deal with the enemy. He didn't deal with the enemy. I think he thought, if I just ignore him, he'll go away. How many of y'all notice that doesn't work? If I'd ignored Timmy Young, though, that's what we've been doing for months, weeks. He just kept coming back. It's like a little brother. I have four brothers and two of my little brothers. We noticed something when I was growing up. One of my little brothers would love it where he, you know, he just harass you. You know, you're a teenager, you know, you listen to the Beatles music, you know, in your room, and he come knock on the door, and you know, I'd go running out there and do something. And my mother finally said, Chris, if you just ignore him, he'll leave you alone. He's trying to get a rise out of you. Amen? Just don't, but you know, the problem is, a lot of people think if they ignore the devil, he'll go away. He won't go away. We've got to fight the enemy. Now, I know that's not connecting here, but work with me a minute. We've got to learn that the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He is dedicated. He's not like my little brother. He has a far greater agenda. Now, the result is, it says he went to his house displeased and heavy. Folks, I'm going to tell you, one of the results of not fighting spiritual warfare is depression and heaviness and gloom. You can't make a peace with a demon. You know, before I got deliverance, I used to talk about I had what I called my gloom. I'm serious. But I was saved 11 years, fearful, before I got deliverance in 82. My brother Harlan Dean, see here? Brother Harlan there prayed for me for deliverance. Thank you, brother. He had been one of the elders at my church in the early 70s, and I showed up at his house, prayed for me. But before that brother prayed for me, and I began to move in deliverance. I had what I called my gloom. And twice, two or three times a year, this thing would come in. I'd just be gloomy for two or three days. You know, just depressed. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know why. I just called it my gloom. Well, I'm in my gloom thing for a few days. And they come out. You know, after deliverance, I never had it anymore. Praise God. It was a spirit. I didn't know it was a spirit. And I would have been saved for a dozen years. No one told me that's a demon on you. And then I love when the gloom came. I could almost see it. You know, like a storm. I go, whoa. And I'd speak in tongues at it and rebuke it. And it would go. In Jesus' name. We have great authority in the kingdom. Chapter 21, verse 1. So let's go on. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab the king, next door to the palace. There's a little a vineyard next to the palace. He probably looked down the window and said, man, I wish I owned that vineyard. And Ahab spake to Naboth, said, give me your vineyard. I can have it for a garden of herbs because it's near my house. And I'll give you a better vineyard. Or if it seems good, I'll pay the money of it. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid, I'm not going to give the inheritance of my fathers to you. He didn't want to sell the property. He just needed that new Supreme Court ruling of eminent domain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, we won't go there. Lord, save the Supreme Court. Have mercy. This is an incredible, clear picture, folks, I'm going to show you, of the self-pity of an Ahab. You see, look at verse 4. And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken. And he said, for he said, I will not give thee inheritance of my father. And he laid him down on his bed, and he turned away his face, and he wouldn't eat bread. I submit he's sitting in a fetal position, sucking his thumb. Do you see that?
This is an incredible picture of a word picture of the self-pity of an Ahab. Self-pity is a demon, man.
I did a sermon here once called Escaping the Slime of Self-Pity. It's slimy. It's a wicked thing. Because he didn't get his way. He was sullen and withdrawn and pouty, so he curled up in a fetal position. I really believe Ahab is often the root behind a lot of severe mental depression, physical passivity, and all those things. Amen? I was telling somebody, you know, one way to break an Ahab tendency in your life, by the way, you notice I'm hitting on Jezebel and Ahab through this teaching. One way to break an Ahab tendency is exercise. You say, what's that got to do with it? Well, exercise is good. Ever since I turned 50, about 3 or 4 years ago, I guess I ought to start exercise. My dad died in his early 70s because he never exercised, and for other reasons. I thought, I'm not going to do that. So I exercise. I've got one of those thingies you do that with, and ride a bike and lift weights and, you know, all this stuff. And there's something about exercising. You're taking authority over the flesh. You say to your body, no, I'm going to rule, not the flesh. You know, I like to sit around and read and look at the computer and stuff, but I got to keep this body under and bring in subjection. So the first thing you do is get control of your body through exercise. It's healthy to exercise. Amen? Particularly we Americans who eat like crazy. Am I speaking to anybody? Turning 50 did it for me, but don't feel like you have to wait that long. Praise God. Okay, so in his depressed state, he fully abdicated. Look at verse 5. This is sick. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him. Notice he's in a fetal position, sucking his thumb. And she says, why is your spirit so sad? Why are you not eating dinner? And he said, well, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said, give me your vineyard for money or else. And if it please you, I'll give you another vineyard for it. And he said, no, we're not giving you my vineyard. That's so sick.
Whining to his wife.
I'm sorry, guys. Guys should not whine to your wife. I pastor a church called New Wine Christian Fellowship. I say it's not W-H-I-N-E. This whining is sicko. It's weird. It's demonic. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I said rejoice. But anyway, he's full of self-pity and in his depressed state. No, what he did, he abdicated. I'm going to tell you something. I believe there was a deep wickedness in Ahab. Wait, worship Satan. Hello. But he knew in his self-pity, depressed state, whining to his wife was going to action. He knew that. Oh, he's pretending like he doesn't. But I tell you, and then Ahab knows, if I don't do it, she's going to step to the plate. Now, this is where Jezebel comes into full power at this point. Now, I want to do a couple of overheads. Bo, are we ready? Sorcery. You know, we're working on this. Why are you going over there? All right, there we go. All right, let's hear it for Bo. Great. Cool. Y'all work with me on this overhead. First of all, this is a picture of Jezebel, a sorcerer witch. And I want to give you the definition of sorcery. It's witchcraft. It's to use one's will and ego to bring about one's own desires in the lives of others. Jezebel had a wicked heart, too. She had an agenda. And when her husband abdicated, she was able to move into her agenda. I really believe sorcery is a very common phenomenon in relationships, unfortunately. Okay? Sorcery enters a relationship, and then mind-control spirits will kick in with the sorcerer to subject the mind, will, emotion, and body of others to the control of the sorcerer. Witchcraft is basically control. And, you know, you don't have to have an eye of Newton, a wing of bat, and a big, you know, a bowl and a pointed hat to be a witch. There's charismatic witchcraft. I really believe that Martha was kind of moving in witchcraft, and when she went to Jesus, said, Jesus, would you tell my sister to help me? What was she doing? She was going to God, asking God to make somebody do something. What is that? Well, I want to consider for a minute, we're going to look at how Jezebel spirits work in a marriage. All right? Go back to that so people write that down. Jezebel spirits in a marriage, if you want to write this down. We're going to go through this. Go ahead, first one. Novo. Okay, is that the first one? Okay. No? I'm looking at my notes. Okay, y'all, help me, Lord. Okay, this will work. I had notes. I thought I did. Okay, I'll just have to go from, I have to trust the Lord. Okay, subtle or obvious rebellion against God's established order. Okay? This is the way Jezebel spirits manifest in a marriage. Subtle or obvious rebellion. Next one. Controls with emotion or guilt. Okay, I gave you some examples of what a wife might say.
Well, if you were a real man, you'd be making a lot more money.
Or how about, your father never seems to find the time. You know, when a Jezebel spirit works in a woman, there's subtle insinuations of indictment against the authority. Okay, go to the next one. At times can cruelly control with silence. You know, I think one of the worst things in a marriage is the silent treatment. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's a wicked thing. I told my wife early on we got married, I said, look, you know, you're going to have temptation to do that, and I am too. Let's just walk out the room and cool down and work it out. But don't be there with the wall and silent. I can't handle that. Amen? But I've learned, and I've counseled people, when you are in a relationship with silent treatment, you know how you deal with it the best way? Anybody? You give them space. Amen? What's the best way to get a cat out from under the bed? Broomstick or a little thing of milk? Amen? Next one. False sicknesses, false guilt, never carries own load. Again, a lot of times in a marriage, a woman will manipulate and use these types of excuses. Next one. Bedroom blackmail, wounds ego and drives the mate away. Now, this can work on both mates. You know, Paul clearly says in 1 Corinthians 7 that we ought not to defraud one another in these relationships. But this is often used, the subtle insinuation. You do what I want, you go with me, you get on my bus, then, you know, we can have relations. But if you don't, we won't. Man, that's witchcraft, folks. That's why there's a scripture specifically nailing that. Next, is there another one? Talk submission while engaging in relentless manipulation. Next one, is there another one? Am I going too fast? You want to go back? Want to go back? Go back a couple. Well, false sicknesses, false guilt, never carries own load. All right? And then go ahead and hit the last one. But basically, in essence, Jezebel's spirits control by dividing with the goal of conquering. Okay? And again, I want to submit to you, hear carefully, Jezebel's spirits gain control where God's order is not maintained, respected, or sought out. Wherever there is a lack of God's order, an abdication away from God's order, a misunderstanding, a rebellion against God's order, that's an open door for the spirit of Jezebel. Look at 21:15 now. 1 Kings. Turn there. We're going to continue with the story. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth of Jezreelite, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, he's dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab arose to go to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession. You know what that witch did? When her husband was curled up there all full of self-pity, she said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. She went and got some false witnesses and claimed that he'd, you know, cursed God. And they stoned him dead. So she came back, she killed him. And she knew that in this act, she was going to basically get her husband under control. And she came back and she said, he's dead. Now he acts like, oh really? Oh, dead? How'd that happen? Wow, what an amazing coincidence. I guess I got the vineyard. You know, do you notice he didn't even ask how Naboth died? You know why? Because he knew. He knew. This is a picture of a henpecked man intimidated by his wife. Folks, a lot of times a woman can control a man. You ready? Proud looks, sharp tongue, sighs. There was this interesting email going around the internet one time about understanding the language of women. Any of you guys see that? That when a woman sighs once, when she sighs twice, or when she says, I'm fine doesn't mean I'm fine. I wish I had that thing. That was so funny, you know. There's a whole language. But, you know, some of it's harmless. But a lot of times when there's a spirit behind it, there's a control. You know, there's just the male and female learning how to relate to one another. That's why guys need to learn how to read women's languages. They really do. My wife, my wife got me this little book. We were up at New Braunfels. And it said, it was a really cute little book. It was a small book. I said, all the things that men know about women. I went, oh, that's good. And he opened up, it was all blank pages. Okay. I said, message taken. Now look at verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go to meet Ahab. Now I want you to notice, who does God send Elijah to? Who killed the Naboth? But who does God send There's a message here, folks. You go to Ahab, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he's gone to possess it. And you shall speak to him and say, thus saith the Lord, have you killed and taken possession? And thus shall you speak unto him, thus said the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even your own. See, God held Ahab ultimately responsible, folks. A man's abdication is as bad or worse because he allowed the woman to be tempted. I submit to you. As wicked as a Jezebel is, there's always somewhere in Ahab that let her be that. And that's what the judgment is. You know, the buck starts and stops with the guy. It's really incumbent upon the guy, the man. Whether it's a husband, whether it's a pastor. I was at a church where we had a pastor who was a good guy, strong, good ordered church anointing. We got another pastor and he's a wimp. He was a nice guy, spoke out both sides of his mouth, and all of a sudden over a few months, all these women elevated control. He was surrounded by women. Women of all the ministries, women, they weren't officially in the denomination. You couldn't have women elders, but they were tantamount to that. They were the Jezebels, and they came, and he was surrounded by these bunch of women, and the women controlled the church. He was just a yes man. He was sicko. And that was when I was just coming into deliverance. And I'd go to this guy, and I'd see all these demons up there. I've been to that church many, many years, and he said, no, Christians can't have demons. No. And I remember thinking, oh my God, this guy's loaded with demons. And he was the pastor. And you know what? There's a judgment of God when you're a pastor and you allow your sheep to scatter like that. Can you know what I mean? I mean, there's a greater, shorter rope than that. So, ignorance of God's order, folks, is no excuse when it comes to the spirit realm. Even demons understand authority. Do you know that? When Jesus walked in, I mean, they understood. They freaked out. They understand authority. I found that many a deliverance session. Demons understand authority. They understand a lot more than we do. They will submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. They'll submit to the angels of God. You know, we've got all kind of authoritarian beings around us in the spirit world. We'll get under authority. God will release those spiritual beings in authority against the demonic spirits that are illegitimately in authority. And we can defeat this. It's all about authority. But your authority in your life is definitely related to your submission. Are you under covering? Are you under submission? Is someone able to speak into your life? Amen? I said, amen? You know, that's why demons go to such lengths to undermine legitimate authority structures. Because they know if they can pull out the underpinnings of legitimate authority structures, they have an inroad of Jezebel. Chapter 21, verse 23. A few more places. We're going to bring this to a close. I'm going to show you some more things in the overhead. 21:23. Let's finish the story about Ahab. So Jezebel spake of the Lord, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, I'm saying, the dogs will eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Now, it's one thing. The dogs were going to lick Ahab's blood. Okay, I'm sorry for this. Don't be squeamish. But they were going to eat Jezebel. He said, Jezebel ain't going to be buried. She will be manure across the land. Okay? So that nobody could go into a grave and say, that's where Jezebel. Oh, no. She's spread across the land. I think all they found was what, the hands and the skull? Verse 24. Him that dies of Ahab in the city, the dogs will eat, and him that dies in the field, the fowls of the area. But there was none like unto Ahab, which sold himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. See, basically what this is, folks, again, remember we looked at Revelations. This is God's judgment against the spirit. A few things was destructive to an authoritarian environment of a church or a family, a business or a nation. You know, Jezebel Ahabs can run in businesses. You know that? I'm involved I have a part-time business I'm involved in. And it takes me, I'm in the financial services business. And I meet with clients, and some of my clients, I sell retirement 401k plans and this kind of thing, and IRAs. And I have opportunity at times to work with clients that manage, operate businesses, or employees. And you know what? A spirit can be in a business. Have you ever noticed you go to a certain restaurant, and you, even though all the amenities are right, you just don't like it. The food's good. The lighting's good. You just don't like it. You got another restaurant down a kind of hole in the wall, but boy, you just love going there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a spiritual thing. And a lot of times, you got to be real careful. In Houston, we have these Chinese restaurants. They have one right around the block from where I live. And when you walk in, there's a little Buddha thing with little orange things. And, that, you know, I've learned. I take a bottle of oil. I'll lean over and go, I bind you in Jesus' name. Bind you. Eat my meal in peace. Amen? Bind that demon. We have authority over those devils. And, you know, because a lot of times, and also besides blatant pagan worship, you'll have restaurants where there's a Jezebel running the place. And all the waiters are kowtowed and wimps and, you know, strong. So, you know, if God wants to walk in discernment. The spirit is prevalent in many areas.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.